My name is Ray Park. You may know me as playing Darth Maul in the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and also Solo at Star Wars Story. You're listening to Star Wars Stuff Podcast, The Force is Strong with You All. And remember, Sith Walk.
Hey, this is Dominic Pace, who plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian, letting you all know you are listening to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Wishing everybody all the best, and may the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you!
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast, where we talk all things Star Wars. My name is Colin.
I'm a geologist.
I'm Christian.
Oh, I'm Cap. I think I'm Star. I don't know.
And I'm Batman.
Oh, God.
Wow, yeah.
Wow, man, Batman. Yeah, nice mask.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was going to say, at first I thought I was seeing two things of Hunter, but it looks like it's two Joshes this week. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Wow.
God, that helmet looks atrocious.
Whoa.
Wow.
Shots
you can't
fired.
See. You can't see, but I see tears just slowly coming out of the helmet.
Slash kamikaze by words.
This is actually. Yeah, this is.
Well.
Mock Hunter with here.
Well, this week we are breaking down episode 14 of The Bad Batch, and next week is the last episode, and there's a lot for them to break down. There is a lot for them to catch up on. I feel like there's going to be a lot of loose ends, and it's going to be really, really frustrating and sad at the same time, but who knows, because we don't know how long the next episode will be.
It better be longer than 24 minutes.
Yeah.
It better be. I don't know how they're going to tie it. I expected this episode to go a lot further into whatever the conclusion was. And I feel like we got just a little sliver of setup.
Yep.
I feel like this is like a really dangerous area of where we are because of weekly release streaming shows and spoilers.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you have like a lot of things that you're trying to hold on to, it's really difficult to, you know, have some of those really big reveals come out, and then, you know, those spoilers come out, and then stuff. It's much easier for them to just dump everything in one episode. We saw that in Book of Boba Fett when almost all of the like insane reveals were in one episode. Then we saw that in Mando season 2. We've seen that in Mando season 3. It's just very consistent for kind of like that lead up happens for one bombshell episode, and so I was kind of expecting that we were going to get a more out preparation this week.
Yeah, it's just got to be long. The last episode has to be. It has to be like an hour. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And something that I was thinking about, and I will dive into it later. But it just is it me or is it like it was really weird not to have any side adventure episodes this season. And the entire thing was plot driven. I was so used to them last season of where they were like, oh, let's go with Indiana Jones. I mean, Fee, like on this adventure. And then it was just like, it's just a random thing. But this entire season has been plot driven. Every single episode has like had a main plot driven episode. And I think there were some missions where it was like, okay, I could consider this a side mission, but at the same time not really, because it had to do with the plot. So it was really interesting, but
I can't say I'm really surprised this season that there wasn't any plot driven episode, or there wasn't any it was all plot driven episodes. There wasn't any like filler episodes, but it was refreshing, I guess, in a way, you know, because we're so used to that in literally every Star Wars show. And not that those are always bad things, but like, it's just been heavy hitter after heavy hitter.
Yeah. And a lot of these episodes, even the ones that have had the most kind of fluff, so to speak, have still been very character driven. So we get, you know, development and growth of these characters without necessarily it needing to be, oh, an action packed episode that does a ton of things.
Yeah. Nothing. Yeah, and it's Yeah, so I'm really excited to see of what's all going to be the final episode, but let's dive into this episode. So we end up kind of going straight into where we left off, and they're in hyperspace. They are on their they're on their way, and I mean, in my opinion, I think they just winged the whole thing. I don't think they were just like, all right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, all right, here's the plan. It was like, okay, this is going to happen. If it works out, it works out. But how did we feel about them just kind of going with the flow? Because that's basically what their plan was.
That's classic Bad Batch fashion, you know, for them to just sort of go for it. I don't really think they had a choice, because they have no intel on Tantus. They don't even, like, I guess they still don't really know where it is. They just kind of hitched a ride. They don't know where they are. They don't know what they're getting into. So I think it makes sense that they are just kind of winging it, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
I also think it's like that they're desperate, you know, like even hearing them be like, oh, what about Echo? And they're like, well, he'll figure it out. Like, Echo's literally going into the heart of Tantus by himself, and they're like, good luck, buddy, you know. And like, that's just, they're completely desperate at this point.
There's a degree to which I feel like the Bad Batch's thought process when it comes to Echo is, Echo is an ARC trooper, he can handle himself.
And he can, like, this whole episode, like, he's the MVP. The last two episodes he's been just
Yep. And speaking of Echo, I loved that he was able to kind of put on the Stormtrooper armor, but because he didn't have a hand, like, he like kind of had to hold his like kind of arm up and like kind of cover his hand with the blaster. And then he later got a protocol hand, but I thought that was really interesting because of when he thought of the idea of like, oh, I'm going to put on this armor, I was like, how is he going to pull that off? So
I expected to either just be like a limp glove or I don't know. Hey, we're finally fulfilling what the Hot Toys figure.
Yeah. The protocol droid hand.
Years ago or whatever.
Yeah. I'm just surprised he could fit the Stormtrooper bucket on over with the neural implant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not there.
Yeah, but like, I would think that's part of his head.
Well, no, like the, let me.
Yeah, when he took it off later in the episode, he no longer had the Lobot.
Right, but like the Lobot implant is implanted.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Supposedly not.
Apparently it's a quick disconnect USB-C port then.
Yeah, if you
it was additive.
If you go to 2017 in the episode, or like 2015, Echo has ears.
Yeah, what he didn't have it on in season 7. Like, when he...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Came out of the pod. It was something in between season 7 and the first season of Bad Batch.
Yeah.
So it's just some really fancy earmuffs. It's how he listens to the computers.
I did not realize that. Interesting. At all.
I didn't realize it until I was thinking about it after, because like in that scene, I was like, something looks off about Echo. And then after the episode finished, I think I saw someone posting about online. I was like, oh, he's got ears.
He's not supposed to have ears.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I definitely want to talk about that moment once we get there.
Some stuff paid off that we discussed. We cut to Hemlock kind of not surprised, but surprised at the same time that the Bad Batch has made it like so far. And then he talks to not Scorch. Is that what we're calling him now?
Yeah, fake Scorch. Yeah.
Okay. Fake Scorch.
Not my Scorch.
Yeah. Well, how? Okay. So I know that they. So they infiltrate the High Charity in the last episode, but like, how did they know that it was in fact the Bad Batch?
Yeah,
because like they never showed that in the last episode for them to get like a positive confirmation.
Yeah, we just got Scorch going. It was Clone Force 99.
Yeah, how did they know that?
There's probably security cameras.
Yeah, but that'd be the first time in this show they've ever had security cameras.
You're not wrong.
Right.
Actually, no. They did specifically show the security cameras when they went into the data room, and they didn't shoot them.
Oh.
That, so I was like, "Oh, that's interesting." Yeah. We normally get the shooting security cameras bit from A New Hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They also had the officer. Yeah. Yeah. Because the officer, he walks in the room and he's like, "There was a breach over at the station." And it was confirmed it was the Bad Batch. So I think Hemlock kind of put two and two together and was like, okay, you know what? It's probably them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's,
But
so they then just kind of put the base on high alert and they finally use those extra turrets that they added to the mountain that, you know, came over budget, it sounds like. Yeah. And Tarkin's probably just freaking out right now.
Super Imperial turbo lasers. I mean, those look super similar to the ones on the Death Star and on Star Destroyers and stuff. So just another area where we are progressing towards Imperial design for everything.
Yeah.
It was cool to hear the laser cannons too, like of them actually fire, because it was like, oh, it's that classic sound. So I love that.
It is a classic sound.
It was really interesting to see that it shook all of Tantus. Like the stabilizers on the turret aren't good enough, and it still shakes the entire building.
Yeah, the freaking mountain.
Yeah, no. Like you think I'm only like a subpar geologist here, but I feel like it takes a lot to shake a mountain.
No, that's just a glorified like triangle building. That is not a mountain. They like the outside is just decoration.
I feel like it's lost most of its mountain aspects when you hollowed it out.
Yeah.
How much do you need to hollow out a mountain before it stops behaving, before it's not a mountain anymore?
Okay, also on the subject. No, it's related. So are there two Tantus mountains? Because like in these shots, I finally realized, and maybe we've commentated this before, but like it seems like there's like another one. Is that another base? You know, if the Batch infiltrates this base, will they send reinforcements from the other base? Tantus, you know, because it looks like there's two Tanti.
Is it Tantai?
Yeah, no, there is a secondary one in the establishing shots that has the same. Like, and now that the point is being made, they are weirdly domed compared to the mountain range that's surrounding them. But I think they're still mountains.
Like a hill.
A snow-capped hill.
Yeah, and they're like perfect. Like they're perfectly cemented. Anyway, all right.
Yeah.
All right, done. Sorry. Anyway, so there's.
If you built a camouflage mountain, you wouldn't build like the. Two mountains that are perfectly symmetrical in the entire range.
But then, he found it that way. So, like, I think somebody just really wanted symmetrical.
They didn't find them that way. It's a space planet mountain range. Maybe there's just perfect mountains.
You're right.
And they're like, guys, this would be great to hollow out.
That's probably what it is.
The other thing that I think is really funny about this mission, everything, is that you've got Rempart that is just there. So
literally just there messing things up.
Yeah. He's there to get there.
I really want to know, and I really want somebody to establish that they had a plan of why the hell they brought him before he just bumbles off and gets captured. Because, like, to me, I'm kind of frustrated by that. Because, like, dude, why would you lug this guy? Like, literally tie him up, leave him, I don't know, leave him on High Charity and just let him. I mean, like, what is he going to, I mean, I don't know.
I think the issue, the issue is, I don't think they, because they were expected to be able to find coordinates from that facility above Coruscant, they didn't think they'd have to immediately catch a ride at the same time. They were probably not planning on bringing Rampart to begin with.
Yeah,
they were just gonna, okay, we got him to get us the thing. We're gonna take him to a place and stick him somewhere and ignore him. And then we're gonna go to Tantus. And they're like, oh no, he has to come with us. But I completely agree. Just tie him to a tree somewhere.
A tree.
Leave him on. Yeah.
There were three times in this episode I fully expected him to die.
Me too.
Like almost 100%.
And when each time was a little
pistol, I thought he was gonna get capped.
Yeah.
The animal, I thought he was gonna eat him.
It says something about the Bad Batch too, that they didn't just leave him on the ship. You know?
I think they should. I would have
agreed. We got clones surrounding, like we had the same shot in season 7 of clones surrounding an astromech droid and ganking the thing.
I know.
Faster than they killed Rampart.
I know.
Very rude.
Yeah, it would have just like been like, good luck in the forest on your own. Have a nice time. Like, and granted, that's what ends up happening. But I just like, I feel like he's gonna mess stuff up for him, and it's just gonna be like, dang it, I wish they would have tied him to a tree.
At the same time, what does he actually know about them
that
he could reveal? Because like, they already know the Bad Batch is there. They know they're out in the jungle, and so the only thing that I think Rampart could give them info on is actually maybe anything about Crosshair,
just because he really isn't up on the stuff.
He doesn't know anything.
It's not like they have a plan that he knows about. They don't.
Yeah. I was wondering when because Crosshair and him were having that conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I've changed. And he was like, sure you have. I was like, is he going to pull out some like Winter Soldier code word and like turn Crosshair back to back?
That's what I wondered.
It was a weird moment.
Yeah, it was. And the music got all dark. Like, there's something to that.
I was wondering because, you know, anyway, I wonder about these things. But I was wondering if, like, you know how like in season 1 when Crosshair's like, I had my chip removed? Is it that like Rampart, because like he's, I don't know. Is it that they told Crosshair that they removed his chip, but they actually didn't? And so they could activate it at any given point in time. And Rampart knows that. So he's going to give that up to like the Empire. Like, I'm just trying to figure out like why that scene matters.
I feel like they already would have exploited that.
Yeah.
You'd think. But I'm just trying to make sense of that scene. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I completely agree. And again, this is all leading up to what are they going to not do in the final episode and what story are they going to like tell? Because I feel like there's a lot of loose ends. So that just
give me a 3-hour episode.
Yeah.
For me, the episode like of the minimum that like of the actual time length of the episode has to be at least 45 minutes. If it's under that, then I just feel like plots are just going to be rushed and they'll be like, oh no, like here's this, here's that, you know, oh no, here's a big thing going on. And then they just move on to the next thing. And I'm just like, geez.
Well, so I was kind of like counting the like storylines or whatever and kind of coming up like if you gave 2 minutes to each storyline, the episode would at least have to be like an hour, like to wrap up all of the individual questions that have still been left.
Yep.
Yeah,
I don't think it will be though.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like then what's the logical conclusion here? What are they gonna do in?
I don't know.
I feel like at this point they're gonna leave out Rex and all the other clones.
I agree.
We're just not gonna see him again.
Which
really bums me out.
I don't know if they're going to, because what was Echo doing in that ship for so long? He was going through so much data before he even left the ship. I think he's sending codes and he's sending Rex.
He'd be sending them, or just in the hopes that he's getting off of this planet, he is collecting as much data as he can into his detachable USB
robot
head.
I would be surprised if that's what he's doing. Or
he is looking up of the next tour dates of when Max Rebo is going on tour.
Oh my god.
You never know.
Yes.
Guys, I really haven't talked about Max Rebo in a bit, so I just had to. I'm sorry. But
all right, so,
wait, every time.
Despite poor taste in musicians, I'd be really concerned if they don't bring in Rex and his cadre of clones for the finale, because and then they're like, oh, well, we're going to make a new show with them. So I feel like their drive to, and that, if that happened, I think my personal opinion would be that their drive for wanting to have more media surrounding clones came at this service and the Bad Batches for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that you tie it up respecting the story of the batch without dragging it out or shoehorning in something else.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Although, okay, what does that episode title mean, though? The cavalry has arrived. That really sounds, I know it's a line of Wreckers, but still, like, it sounds like here's a lot of people arriving.
Yeah. It could just be the Bad Batch arriving at camp.
Yeah.
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 Maybe they would ride a Zilla Beast.
Yeah, Gondor. Maybe the Zilla Beast.
Gondor's going to answer the call.
Yep. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I feel like they can't wrap it up unless they have at least an hour.
My thing with the finale title, "The Cavalry Has Arrived," is a very triumphant line in every piece of media it's used. It's also, never it's used to herald defeat.
Is it also the very first line we ever hear out of the
It is.
It is.
Yep. Yep. It's the very first
from
line
season of season 7,
which makes it a fitting bookend. But
I knew it was Wreckers opening. I didn't know if it was the very first line.
It is. Yeah.
The first line of the Bad Batch, yeah.
Yep.
The
other thing I was going to ask what you guys thought about is that the name Flash Strike, what did that have to do with the episode? I was trying to figure it out, and I literally could not figure it out.
I don't know. I was thinking about that too.
It's, when they shot the Zillow Beast, it was a flash strike.
Oh my God.
Wow.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you.
What a stretch.
Indiana Jones. Let's Max Rebo reference within sub 5 minutes. You're going to stretch that.
One second.
There you go. All right.
Well, there is actually a definition for the term flash strike. But I don't think it has anything to do with a Bad Batch. It's about going on strike. It's about going on strike, as in workers going on strike against their employer. And I don't think we're about to get a bunch of stormtroopers unionizing. I'll be honest.
I don't know. I would love that. Tarkin, stop. I mean, stop moving the budget. Like, of just the entire episode. And then we get the sad ending, like it's like the last 5 minutes and just the stormtroopers just going on rats. But as the Bad Batch are like going in and they are they're trying to survive and stuff like that, we have Omega and the kids in the vault that are trying to figure out a plan. How did we feel about everything with Omega kind of going off on her own adventure, and then she does discover the Zillow Beast, which we talked about last week. That was a theory that we did talk about. So it's cool that they are gonna probably tie that storyline up, which we've been waiting for a long time. So that's pretty cool. But how do we feel about that?
I'm just going to be this long to realize that the three alien children are colored like Pokemon starters.
That is the main thing that you take out of all of that. Love it.
Oh,
I really like the setup in that scene of showing how like set apart from like the other children Omega is, and how much of like a little commando mind she has, where they're all like, what do you mean cover you? Like, you can just see these kids have never thought a tactical thought in their lives, which makes sense. They're just normal kids, and she's all like, okay. And I liked that. It showed her growth. And that's
I thought it was really their like attempts to distract the science, like the doctor. They're like, hi, I'm not feeling too well. Give him a medical scan.
Right.
Your body is fine. You're fine. You'll get over it. Oh, I'm getting kind of hungry. Then wait.
Yep.
There is not a maternal instinct in that woman's body.
What would you guys have done if you were an infantile, force-wielding child who has no military experience and was told to stall a giant hovering robot and a nurse lady?
I'd wait until one won the next stall over, then induce vomiting.
Or pretend to have a seizure. I don't know.
Violently start like coughing, faking massive illness.
Yeah.
We would all make great child prisoners.
We would escape Tantus.
I break my leg using the straw doll.
yeah.
How? That's wait, good. What? How does that fall? Like, how? Can you?
It's gross.
What does it mean?
Make it work.
I would probably just try and eat it. That would cause a problem.
Yeah.
How many calories do you think is in a straw, Luke?
So something I was thinking about was that the only kid I believe that we've actually seen use the Force was the youngest one. And she's the only, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't one of them using the Force to play a game at the table when we first saw him? I thought I remember.
Were they?
I think they have collars on, and I could be wrong, that like maybe do things. And I think that that was like a floaty game that like they have a little.
One of them is a floating cube game.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know. So
different Star Wars magic. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So maybe there's a chance that the other kids are like Omega, where they are. They do have that good M count, but they're not at that level of where they can use the Force while the other kid can use the Force to throw like a whole like fruit. So you're just like, okay.
But, some of these kids have funky blood.
Yeah. Funky blood. All right.
So you have it.
Okay.
Unless that's the way they're testing it.
Yeah. Something else that I would like to talk about is Hunter. Do you now hate Echo because he just full out just shot a droid and in cold blood?
He did what he had to do. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa. Also, like, mutilated his hand. Yeah. Like.
Yeah. Yeah. That was probably
dismemberment.
As we know from season one of the Clone Wars, taking droid body parts is not allowed by the Army of the Republic.
He needs out of all droids. I have like this inherent distrust of RA series protocol droids because of the Clone Wars movie.
Oh yeah, that's fair. Okay,
that's fair.
Oh my gosh, yeah. They're the one droid that it's okay then.
Yeah, to... yeah. I mean, Jedi Knight. Yeah, I still think
they're cool. I just don't trust them at all, you know?
So you that is... loved when they became roadkill in Solo.
That sounds like droid hate crime, Hunter. I'm just saying, like, wow, just...
Wow, of all the people to accuse that of,
it's droid profiling is what it is.
Why is this something being brought up now when there was a whole Clone Wars series where clones just slaughtered battle droids?
Because we hadn't got that part yet.
No.
They didn't take their hands.
Actually, one of them did. That was a war crime.
So we see that Echo just, you know, he just kills a droid, takes the hand, and says thank you afterwards, by the way. Yeah. And
the continuation of the dad jokes from Echo. Thanks for the hand. And is there an Echo in here?
Yep.
Yes.
And then the stormtroopers go down, fake Scorch walks up and is like, we have to do another search. And they're like, but we already did one. He's like, too bad. You know, we have to search the ship, and then Echo finds his way off the ship, and he goes down that cool sand crawler tube thing that we, you know, haven't seen in a while. So
that did there was something back. Hunter brought up last week, and I want to reiterate it. I want to know what the inside of that tube looks like.
Yes, Hunter did bring that up. Hunter agrees.
Yes, Hunter definitely brought that up.
Yes, Hunter absolutely did.
I do hope that the R3 Astromech is safe and all right, though.
Is he safe?
Is it all right?
Fair exactly.
Question. Yeah.
Can we get a Darth Vader reenactment no from you next week, Hunter?
Maybe.
No.
I thought it was really interesting how the... like Echo's entire, like, you know, weaving through the base, mm-hmm. and he's plugging into multiple ports along the way, mm-hmm. and clearly just trying to like scrape data where he can.
Yeah.
And then he gets to a computer that gives him an access denied message. Like, and it, like, it beeps at him, like a warning at him. Well, yeah, I was saying an access denied message.
I thought that was really strange too. Like it was really easy for him to sneak through a maximum security scientific lab area.
You know? Like he's not into the vault, but
I mean, I was watching that too, and I was like, God, like if this was all Linux machines, you'd see like user like tags and everywhere, it'd be like a whole mess of.
Echo's undoubtedly good at what he does. He's a cyborg meant to interface with computers.
Hopefully, but
also brings up the like security camera question again. If that's how they found them on High Charity in the last one, like how did they like? Do they not have security cameras in Tantive? Like I'm just,
it's
just,
like don't question the security cameras.
I question the security cameras.
How secure is this space? This space is so secure. There's not a single security camera anywhere.
We don't even secure it anymore.
we call it the Titanic.
Yep, and as Echo is sneaking into the base, we then have Omega sneaking out of the vault, and she kind of goes on her own adventure, and we see the Zillow Beast, and it looks like a new plan is brewing. Yeah.
Between then and there, she was following what looked like the blood sample pods. But there were more blood sample pods than there were being taken of the kids. So I'm like, where are those blood samples coming
from? Well, I figured they were just general transport units.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought they were pretty small
transport units. Like, hey, we want a Big Mac upstairs.
It's the vacuum tubes you used to see at banks that they would put the like pneumatic tube things in.
It could
have Ash is not that old.
I loved them as a kid.
These are red and glowy because Empire.
I wanted one of them so bad.
They are also taking tons of blood samples from random clones too. Yeah. So it could be clone blood samples being pushed to wherever from elsewhere.
What if some of it is Zillow Beast blood samples?
It could be.
No.
Turns out they're just trying to clone everything. So it's just different samples and different material.
Like in the EU, they talk a lot about the Empire trying to pull the Empire tries to harness nature, which is like, that's the irony of Return of the Jedi, right? The Ewoks defeat the Empire with rocks. But the Empire in the EU would try and take, and that's what Palpatine was trying to do in the Clone Wars, was take the genetics from the Zillow Beast and put that into armor or military tech or whatever. And it just never works because nature like stands up to this mechanized machine that is the Empire.
Well, it's that whole nature in itself is inherently neutral, but that doesn't mean that it's going to necessarily go to one side or the other in terms of the balance of the force. Because like most natural living beings, even like predators, aren't inherently evil. They don't kill for the sake of killing. They kill for the sake of eating.
Right.
Yeah.
So like they don't act with malicious intent, whereas the dark side is very inherently malicious.
Mm-hmm.
Well, going off of Cap's observation, they were successful in the electrical mountain already. There's two men. So.
You were just really quiet, man.
Yeah, the mic was not picking you up.
If we go off of Cav's previous observation, they already cloned a mountain. So.
Yeah.
What if we took this mountain and just cloned it over there?
That's how cloning. I mean, cloning it. I mean, it makes sense.
I know. Yeah.
All living things: that tree, the bush, the rock,
the rock.
Control C, Control V is really effective on the Imperial system. So,
imagine Control X in the entire original mountain.
So as that is happening, the Bad Batch is on the ground. They are trying to get closer to the base, and then they run into, I believe it's the same beast that we saw in the third episode of this season.
Angry
bear cat thing.
Yep.
Right.
Owl bear.
But correct me if I'm wrong, it had red eyes. In the third episode, right? Or no?
That was at night though, and it was glowing.
So okay. Maybe it's
like yellowy eyes.
Maybe it only phosphoresces at night. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it phosphoresces at night. Think about when we went kayaking and we got told that the like alligators and rocks would have eyes that glow in the dark.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was almost a year ago. I was just thinking about that.
Yeah. It was almost exactly a year ago.
Yeah.
So another thing I want to bring our attention to, because we glazed over it earlier. All of Rampart's screams were hilarious.
Yes.
They were really
funny. Yeah.
They were so funny.
And there's a lot of that here with this beast.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He's reminded me of
such a baby. Star Wars.
He was such a, yeah. It's funny because he was such he was a vicious villain in that first season. Like he blew up Kamino. Like that was on his orders.
Yep.
And then you cut to where he is now and he's screaming every chance he gets. Yeah. Like he's just running, he's falling, he's just freaking out.
Yeah, but that's because he only has power if he can order people around. Yeah. Beyond that, he's just a sniveling idiot, you know? Yeah.
But it's vaguely Agent Callousy from Rebels.
I know.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about the whole fight with the bear.
It's called a Dryax, apparently.
A Dryax. We love it with that guy. I'm curious what you guys think about the fact that it absolutely just slices open Wrecker's armor. Because this guy has been a mercenary for years, and his armor's not getting sliced open. So it was like, are these beasts native here?
It could be extremely old armor.
I mean, it could be that the armor just like today was like one too many missions. Today's the day. Are these things like especially horrible? I don't know.
All right. When you strip paint off something, you sand it and it removes material. You do something to it with chemicals that just weakens it. Maybe he just kind of screwed up. And it took.
He's a good point.
Armor weak.
The paint removal left like visible gouges, which would be starting points for cracks.
That was totally facetious, but like at the same time, it could be a thing.
Yeah.
Send it right back down to the print line.
Because like Tantus has all of the like little Batcher dyes, like is this one of their failed experiments? That's what I'm thinking. Like, is that why the claws are so like?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's where I was going with it. Because I'm like, that's really high powered if it can go through.
Yeah. Yeah. You
know, potentially Katarin armor. So,
yeah. I mean, that thing's like huge and seems like jacked. And I'd assume that its claws are like quite sharp.
Yeah. It looked like it was at least three times Wrecker size.
Oh, yeah.
Not very surprised.
And Wrecker's not tiny.
Make us like worry about him more. Because like he keeps Wrecker in trouble.
I feel like it's like. Shadowing.
I know. He's like almost falling off some shit, jumping onto a onto a ship. And then
he got blown up.
So what's the other thing?
He got blown up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking a beating.
Gotta watch out for him.
Yeah.
He got attacked by those weird tentacle vines from earlier.
Oh yeah. Yeah. This whole season, he's just gotten pounded. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you know he's on the run. Of Rampart, he's on the run, you know, he's screaming, he falls, and he gets captured. And I know we kind of talked about it a tiny bit earlier, but do we really think he's gonna do anything? Like,
I don't know what he can do. Like, I really don't know.
I think so. This kind of goes back to like what we were saying, or you guys were saying about his comment to Crosshair, because he says that he acts in favor of himself and that Crosshair does the same thing. And or at least he did, right? Until he kind of started seeing that like the Empire is also not good. Because he did act like for himself to keep himself alive. Like you can like whether or not it was a chip or whatever, right? But so I feel like Rampart was trying to kind of like get in his head, like, you're not actually a good person. Yeah. You know, like you know what I mean? Like he was trying to manipulate him and be like, you're not actually a good person.
Yeah.
Like, I doubt you changed, you know, like he's trying to doubt Crosshair and put doubt in his mind. And I think him saying that he acts for himself, like that Rampart acts for himself, while he doesn't have that much info, because like they never explicitly talked about a plan that we know of.
Yeah.
Actually in front of him. I feel like he'll want to
help them so that they don't kill him or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But he won't have enough to like give them.
Yeah. Right. Well,
I think what's going to happen is he's going to claim to have information that's going to get him taken either to like Scorch or Hemlock, and he's just going to get executed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like there's nothing you could give us.
Right. And yeah.
It came from them that they are cold hearted.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And so what I want to know is what are the show writers trying to tell us by bringing him? Because like so far in this particular episode, it's like he's not that useful to the plot. So what are they doing? Why
what
are
they
giving...
want him for next episode?
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe it is to execute him to be like, oh God, these guys mean business.
Yeah.
But maybe he's got some piece of info. I don't know. So I'm curious about that.
Yeah. I could also see them like if they were to do it fast enough and like maybe if it was still in the forest to try and like convince him to like double cross the badge.
Right. Sure.
Like, I see that happening if it like obviously it would have to be like next episode very quick.
Yeah.
But like
the opening.
Yeah. Like if Scorch was like, this is what you're going to do. Fake Scorch. Yep. Sorry.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Sorry, I got him.
Yeah. And then we get to the part of where Echo goes into the room where Mega's blood was being tested for a very long time, and then Dr. Emery sees him, and then like she like puts two and two together, and you know she's just like, oh, you're Echo, right? And then she pretty much is like, well, you know, I don't want this life anymore, I want to help you, but we have to help get the kids out. And then Echo is like, what kids? And I think I know Josh wasn't here last week, but I think Hunter's the one that said that that was probably going to happen, of where she would end up, you know, kind of joining the Bad Batch in a way. So how do we feel about
Hunter's genius? Just shines through every week.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
It generates a gravity, man.
It's beautiful. Yeah. One thing I really wanted to comment on was. Emery's like Echo saying, hey, like, why you're a clone, why did you do this? And she's like, it was just my job. And then she sees probably the most like experimented on clone in history.
Yeah.
Like, the gaunt face, the metal tubes, like the like connection joints out of his skull. Like the most I am the product of people saying they're just doing their job for the sake of research.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean I think you know, aiming to really paint that parallel between the Empire and the experimentation that they do on people to like, and like to go a little bit like a heavy topic, but like, you know, to, you know, Nazi Germany. Because that was the most common defense you hear, which was, I was just following orders. And it's just like, well, too freaking bad. That's not a valid defense.
That's what I was going to say too. I was like, it was totally such a callback.
Well, I think it's also like even in that it's really full circle for Echo to be back here getting clones out of an experimentation place where they're being used to help a evil system try to defeat his brothers. It's like he's right back in a spot where he would have been the CX clone or like kind of, you know, or whatever, or the clones being used against the other clones. And so it's like, it is really full circle for his story to be back here. And having Emery be apparently someone that can think for herself and is choosing to be here or has chosen to be here that's pretty much entirely directly Echo's like, kind of
against him.
So,
I wonder if any of the other doctors are also clones to some extent.
They seem like some of them kind of look like it. I can't
tell.
Because like, some of them visually are very similar, like facially designed to Emery.
Yeah.
But they also have like the other doctor that is the one who's saying stuff. She's clearly not directly the copy.
Yeah.
So I was like,
Yeah.
And they also, so before Echo has this conversation and he's scanning through clones and he finds Omega. We do see him go through kind of like a roster of what clones they have there. I didn't recognize any clones that we knew. I rewatched that scene over and over again to see through the pictures he was scanning through to see if we saw Cody or Wolf or anyone, but didn't look like we saw anyone or any clone that we knew.
Yeah, I didn't recognize anyone.
Yeah.
I feel like
it reminded me. Wanted...
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I feel like if they really wanted to paint like a clear picture of here is other people they have like experimented on to the same extent, they would have picked very recognizable clone faces.
Yeah.
Like we know that, like, you know, Wolf's got the scar and a blind eye. We know Cody's got some facial scarring as well. They would have picked characters that are very clearly like, oh, this has to be that character.
Yeah. It reminded me a lot of, I think it was the first Clone Wars movie. There was a clone, like, draw clones book, like, draw characters from the Clone Wars. And one of them was a blank page of generic clone faces. It was like, create your own clones, like, add their own hairstyles or tattoos or what have you. And it just reminded me of that book. I remember that.
Yeah. And after that, we cut back to the vault, and the kids were like, you know, how to go, what happened, and Omega's, you know, she basically says, I have a plan, and then the screen goes black, and that's it.
Roll credits. And
that episode was only 24 minutes.
I know. Yeah. They packed a lot in.
Way too short.
Super like, they short. Packed a ton in, but then they also didn't get that far.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
It was a weird feeling. Like, both of those things were true.
Did you guys feel like the pacing was really fast, too? Because
yes.
I felt like, bam, the establishing shots almost too fast.
It was, like, not, like, real time, but, like, we got every event as it happened sequentially. Like, we didn't give them time to, like, traverse through the forest and then caught up with the raider.
Right.
It was just their whole journey, you know?
It really felt like everything was happening at the same period of time. And they were just cutting between the same 10 minutes.
And there was a lot of things they did to make sure that was conveyed. And they smartly, rightly so, like, having the turbo laser batteries go off. And then that is when we take off with Omega, is so we know, okay, this is this is our time frame reference. Yeah. And also, from the sake of, you know, the complaints of filler episodes and what have you, that's plagued the Bad Batch for almost its entire runtime, having an episode like this where we don't get a lot of those things that we're expecting to have in what a lot of people say, oh, maybe a two-part finale, what have you, we didn't get that. So keeping that pacing up allows this show to make it like, you know, this is moving fast. We didn't take extra time where we didn't have to. It kind of keeps up that almost illusion of quickness, so it doesn't feel fillery.
See, I kind of felt like it did in some places, because like, so like Omega, I love seeing her, you know, explore, and she's trying to figure out how to get out, but she's already explored once, kind of. Now she does it again, finds the Zillow Beast. All she does is look at it, and it kind of feels like the entire time we're following her, there's only been a tiny little, you know, thing revealed, which is, oh, the Zillow Beast, which is a big deal. But still, I kind of feel like faster.
I think mine is more about like the pacing of the episode was really fast. But like, as much as like it was fun to see another creature, it wasn't necessary for the actual plot to move them into Tantus. At least not that I can think of it would be. I mean, maybe the beast will show up and help. I don't know. Maybe it will. Whatever. But point being, it like felt like really fast paced. But yet, you know, they're not even like right. Like, they're not even two Tantas yet. Like, they literally, like, they moved a very small amount, which, again, isn't maybe a problem. Like, maybe that's all going to be in a huge, long episode next week. Yeah. But it was, like, it did feel like there was tons of stuff, and yet they only moved, like, this far.
Yeah.
Which is, was an interesting.
I'm also leaning towards the theory that Josh had, where, you know, we get a lot of loose ends to where that might lead to another announcement where they're like, here's Clone Adventures, or it's probably gonna be a better name than that, but I could see them doing that. Yeah,
I hope so. I really feel
I feel like, for like, if you think writing wise, Like we're getting to that point in like, whether it's like, you know, this is a series, right? So if you're thinking about like those different books and things or like other types of writing, like this would be the point where things like start going really quickly. Like we still have those little things in there. And I think like part of showing just the Zillow Beast, one, I think it built up a lot of like, okay, Omega and Echo are in like the same, like they're so close to each other. Like she, oh, maybe she'll look through something like she did with the Zillow Beast, right? But see Echo, like where it gets you like on the edge of your seat to be like, what is she going to find? What is she going to hear? And like, we're like, oh, it's just the Zillow Beast. But it kind of goes back to that. If you write about the gun on the wall, it has to go off at some point.
Well, I think No, I was just gonna say like the pacing of it. I think it's so fast. And then they reveal you just like little crumbs for you that if the episode next week is an hour, I'll feel like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was good setup. That was good pacing. If the episode next week is 25 minutes, I'm going to feel like, oh my gosh, that's so like, you know what I mean? Like, oh my God, that didn't give us enough this week to fully fulfill it the next week. So I think it kind of depends for me kind of on the runtime next week.
Yeah. So that was actually a point I was going to bring up because 2 weeks ago, someone posted a screenshot of a glitch that had happened on their Disney Plus app on their Apple TV, which was they had finished the episode and then it gave them a short like click to the next episode screen and it said runtime left an hour and 30 minutes.
What?
Now, this was 2 weeks ago. And we knew there was more than an episode left at that point. So people were speculating in the comment section of that Reddit screenshot, being like, maybe it's saying, like, oh, maybe it's looking at, like, you've looked at past stuff. And everybody's like, no, it said play next.
Yeah.
And the title on the display was this title.
Ooh.
I don't know.
We knew the titles. But so
at the same time, it's also like, it's a Reddit screenshot. So it could be some guy. Right.
It's a Reddit screenshot of an episode title we already knew 2 months ago.
Okay, but that's easily done from
a server standpoint too. That just makes absolutely no sense,
right? That would be a pretty serious kind of glitch to have happen.
Yeah.
So my thinking is runtime wise, they're probably going to try to make the finale of Bad Batch feel like the finale of season 7 of Clone Wars.
Yeah,
I hope.
Yeah. That's extremely likely. Also, going back a little bit, excuse me to pull a Colin. Omega going through the ducts and crawling around and like looking through the grate to see the Zillow Beast reminded me a lot of Batman Arkham Asylum.
I mean, I would say Die Hard more, but no.
Yeah, no, it reminds me of Arkham.
For sure. Well,
Temple of Doom. Where they're going through the hidden passageways in the palace and see through some of the eyes.
No, it's an Arkham reference. That is
it's awesome. Actually a reference when I walk through hallways and look through windows. Like my everyday life.
What's going on in this classroom?
You like haven't even watched Temple of Doom yet, Star. You have no room to talk. How dare you? It's fine. It's okay. Well, yeah, and I don't know. It still doesn't feel like the end either.
Oh.
Yeah,
and I think that's the weirdest thing. Yeah. It's just like, okay, so we have the episode next week, and to me, it's like, okay, it's the next episode. It doesn't feel like it's the final episode. No. And
right,
it's just the weird feeling because of I will always remember the hype train of that first episode that we got because it came out on May 4th and all of us were just like,
yeah,
oh my God, like this is insane. Like Order 66 happening all over again. And, and you know, it's at the end of Revenge of the Sith and working its way into the darker times of the Empire. And now that we're at the end of this, it doesn't feel like the end and it's just weird.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So, all right. Can we get our top predictions for the last episode?
Oh God.
It's going to have a starting with Josh. Longer than 10 minutes.
Okay.
It's a cliffhanger.
I was going to say Death of Hemlock.
Okay. I would like to go back to Hunter's theory about the cliffhanger thing.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to leave a lot of open ends.
It's a cliffhanger, and then they drop something on May 4th.
The rest of it. Tales of the Empire?
Yeah, the end. The actual last episode.
Okay.
Ended on May 4th. I don't know.
That's like,
I'm just saying.
They just aren't going to answer where these characters end up.
No.
No.
Hunter, you're basically betting on like overtime at a Super Bowl game.
My predictions, they're all dead.
Wow. Yeah.
For sure.
Pulling a Rogue One.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, everybody but Omega.
I don't want to think about that.
Sorry.
I would rather not know.
Those would be really easy CRLs to write.
The last domino must fall.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, man. Yeah. My prediction is that we see Cody show up with Rex, or Cody is one of the sleepers, which, again, we haven't, I mean, yeah, there's also the sleeper that we didn't see in this episode as well. Yep. So now there's so much that they got to talk about.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
Tales of the CX clones.
I watched that. I would too.
Tales of the, oh guys, our bad. This really wasn't the season finale. Sorry.
Yeah. Tales of the CX clones. It is just a super cut of every assassination attempt that they have.
Tales of the Bad Batch season 4.
Jeez. Oh man. Well, are we all going to be able to be on for the finale next week? Because then we all have different plans.
Yes.
Well, I don't think it's going to be possible for me and Hunter and Hannah.
Yeah. No, we'll be on a plane.
Yikes.
I will be in a car.
Yikes.
I should be able to make it.
That was very reassuring, Joshua.
Yeah,
I have my senior design project presentations. I need to but they're on Thursday, so I think I should.
Okay, well,
we'll be fine.
Some of us
just need to get a
here.
Piece of paper that I can have a job.
Yeah, some of us will be here, I guess.
If we all die, I'll be just here crying.
It'll just be an hour crying.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. If that's the case, just let me a snap.
All of them.
I can cry in the car.
Yep. Well, there you go. All right. Well, from all of us from the Star Stuff podcast, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week. May the force be with you always.